For those of you that want more,
I got good news for you. We got two scripture readings at this point.
One is printed from Mark, and then we're going to read the Zacchaeus story that's found in Luke chapter 19 to verse 10 verses. That's just over at 854 of your pew Bibles, page 854. If you want to put a finger in there and get over there when I get to it. But first we look at Mark chapter 1. Listen and hear the word of God written. After John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brothers Andrew casting his net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And he went up a little further, and he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in a boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. And then from Luke. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome Jesus. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be a guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." That tree on the front, I've been to that tree. It's in Jericho. That's a current picture. And our tour guide, who's a Palestinian, a Christian, says, "Now, there are people here in Jericho that will tell you that that is the very tree that Zacchaeus climbed 2,000 years ago. They will tell you that. I am not." But there it is. And there it was. And we look at it. It's a huge big tree, as you can see. And if you look closely, there's a bend in the tree where you can imagine that someone could climb up and hang over and watch. Now, this was a problematic to do this. If you were a grown man in the Palestine or in the Arab world, you never ran. It was very undignified to run. You didn't want to, it was horrible to run. People made fun of you. There he is running, not only running, but he climbed a tree. Again, something a kid would do, but not a grown man. Not only did he have those problems, the immediate undignified problems of running and climbing a tree and being short, you wonder, well, geez, he's short. How come the crowd didn't let him get in front or, you know, cut him a break? Well, we find out he's a tax collector. And you think taxes are bad now. You think you have a tea party now. You think you hate taxes now. You know nothing about taxes. Way back then in the Roman times, that was a foreign occupying army that you were paying to support to oppress you. If that wasn't enough, they conscripted, they hired regular people, a native, Zacchaeus, to collect the taxes. And the way they did that is that everybody, the tax collector, would pay the tax right off front, right up front, pay the bill to the Romans. And then he'd go around and get it back. As much as he could get. Rome don't care. They already got their money. Go out and get it, see if you can get it up. And he just put it in the pocket. And the people knew that. Anything he collected went right to his pocket. He already paid the bill. They hated Zacchaeus, despised him, No wonder you couldn't get a front row seat at the parade. And Jesus comes and says, I must stay at your house today. Now we, you know, being the way we are, we would think that's a terrible imposition. I mean, someone inviting you over, who does that other than the pastor at lunchtime? Who else does that? No one does that. It's, but the back in those times, if someone came to your house, that was a compliment. That was an honor. And not only that, if somebody with some notoriety came, that was a really big honor. And then Jesus is bringing the whole crowd with him. He's bringing a whole village with him. And so all that honor goes on to him. All those people are coming to his house. The whole village is coming to his house. Great honor. No wonder they're grumbling. Jesus is honoring a sinner. Jesus is honoring, he should honor someone good. He should honor someone that does something good for the people. He should honor someone instead of this tax collector. Why is he honoring him? Why indeed? You know what? Other than climbing the tree and running and making a fool out of himself, Zacchaeus hadn't shown anything close to repentance or to holiness or godliness. In fact, just the opposite. And Jesus says, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to eat in your house. I lived in a small town a lot of my adult life. Love the small town. Good times. You know, a lot of things in a small town you just don't think about, even in little neighborhoods in Akron, you know? You know, for example, you don't use turn signals in a small town. Everybody knows you're going to turn in. You know, you don't need to tell them. And another thing about a small town, you get a wrong number and you talk for a half hour. Oh, how are you? Yeah, okay, you can't get off the phone. But when Jesus makes a call, it's kind of like that small town. Because Jesus gets a wrong number every time he calls. He's the world's worst with caller ID. He's horrible with recall and dial back. He can't get a number to save his life. But he can't get your number to save your life. For when Jesus calls you and it's the wrong number, Jesus works with you until it's the right number. Jesus talks to you and calls you and says, yes, it's you. And you say, me? No, you don't mean me, Jesus. Because yes, I do. I mean you. Throughout the Bible, you see that. God is always calling the wrong number. And Zacchaeus and on down. And Zacchaeus is definitely the wrong number. Everybody knows that. Why is he going to his house? He's a sinner. Why? Because Jesus calls the wrong number. And Jesus makes it the right call. Behold, look, see, right now, today, I give half of my fortune to the poor. Today, if I have defrauded anyone, I give them back not what I defrauded them, not double what I defrauded them like the law requires, but I give them fourfold, the worst penalty of magic. I give them back. And Jesus says today, salvation. What Jesus calls you? What Jesus came to your house for your dinner? There you are, sitting at dinner. You're at the table, and Jesus doesn't say anything. He just sort of looks at you. What are you thinking? You thinking, what does he want? What if the president came to your house? Don't you wonder, what does he want? What does he want with me? What is he going on? That's the question of making Jesus' call work. There's a great movie out. I don't know if it's still playing. It may be on video, but it's called Gran Torino. Has anyone seen Gran Torino? Am I allowed to ask that question? A couple. All right, good. I told you to see it. That was good. You've seen it. Isn't that great? You know, only Clint Eastwood could take down an entire armed gang with a cigarette. That's Clint, right? He does it. He's amazing, that Clint Eastwood. Anyhow, this is a great story about a call. It is a very holy story. It is about a call of a man who is the grumpiest, most cursingest, racist guy you ever want to see. You don't even want to see him. It's just embarrassing to hear him talk and to hear him curse and to hear him throw off stereotypes insult every ethnic group known to God. And by the community and that worked around him, they honored him. They give him gifts. They treat him like a hero. He hates it. We'll be seeing those clips at 11 o'clock. He hates it. He says, leave me alone. He goes, we can't. You were so good to the community. You saved us because you stood up to the gangs. You saved us. We want to give you gifts. You're wonderful. He goes, go away. Leave me alone. I didn't do anything. And they kept at it. And they kept going. And the, one of the guys that he saved comes over and he says, I got to work for you. I don't want you to work for me. Well, I got to work for you. I got to help you. I'll be there tomorrow. You know. And he lets them work for him. There's a transforming experience. And suddenly the guy that was so wrong, couldn't be more wrong, becomes a savior for the people that he initially described. Because the people treated him like a hero. Because the people treated him like a savior. Because the people believed in the good that they saw. That wasn't really that apparent. He lived up to being their hero, even though he didn't want to. Such is the power, transforming power of Christ as lived out in the community. We all want to be heroes. We all want to be good. We all want to help. Now, it may be hard to find, but I tell you, I want you to find this week, to find someone that you can encourage in discipleship. Encouraged to be a hero. And if the most snottiest, nastiest person you can find, fine. Find something good in there and encourage that. And tell them how good they are. Now, if I get notes from a bunch of you, I'm going to be a little low, but I'll survive it. That'll be all right. But the transforming power that we see in Zacchaeus' story is not just about Jesus. It happens every day. When people believe and find the best in people, encourage it, expect it, and celebrate that. The more and more we do that, the better we let people be. That is the call to discipleship. It always starts out wrong. It's always the bad call. It turns in the right call. Wrong number, but the right call. Listen for Jesus when he gives you a call, when he comes to dinner, when he's sitting there looking like he's expecting something. Imagine, what is he thinking? Why is he honoring you? Live up to that honor. Jesus gives it before you earn it. Jesus died before you did anything for you. When Jesus calls you, what you will be, not what you have been.